Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Love Who You Are Video Summit. Today we have Larissa Noonan. Larissa Noonan, author of the Sacred Self-Care Guidebook, is a mother, mentor, and healer who is passionate about empowering women to heal chronic pain and anxiety, shift patterns of multi-generational trauma, and recover their natural power and wholeness so that they can live their sacred purpose and be the greatest contribution possible to themselves, their families, their communities, and our earth. Through community rituals, one-to-one healing work, and online classes, she inspires deep connections to self, to lineage, to nature, and to spirit. So welcome, Larissa. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Lily, and I'm just totally delighted to be here with you today.
Wonderful. So I thought we would start with our first question, and which is basically, what are some of the blocks that prevent people from knowing and truly living their purpose?
This is actually a really big question, and what I see the most often is that when you don't know why you're here, when you don't love yourself, when you're kind of struggling, when you're in pain, it's usually because we are disconnected from our bodies. We're living in this kind of mental place, and when we're not in our bodies, it's really, really difficult to be able to feel what's right for us and to kind of have that inner sense of what we're here to do and why we're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we are in our bodies, we have a connection to something that guides us around knowing our purpose. Is that what you mean?
Yes. The bigger question might actually be, you know, what keeps us from being in our bodies? Once we are in our bodies, yes, we have that sense. We can feel in our hearts. We can feel just in our guts, you know, just our bodies just kind of know like where we're supposed to be going, and we know what feels right, and we can just do it because we're embodied.
Okay.
So, you know, to me, the bigger question is like, why aren't we already in our bodies, and why aren't we already doing what we are here to do, living our power and loving ourselves and, you know, all these beautiful things that this summit is about?
Yes. Is there a simple answer to that?
There's a lot of answers, but there is also a pretty straightforward one. And from my perspective, and generally we aren't in our bodies because our bodies can be a pretty painful place to be, whether that's emotional pain, whether it's physical pain. And, you know, more specifically, you know, the pain comes from unresolved trauma, whether it's trauma that has occurred in our own lifetimes, or again, from the perspective that I work from, from the unresolved trauma of our ancestors.
Okay.
You know, going back, you know, generations.
Yes. So what inspired you to begin working with ancestors?
I've been on this healing path of, you know, mostly like self-care and working with trauma in the body for close to 20 years now. And there were some things that just never really resolved, like some of my core patterns. Like, they might get incrementally better. I might have small shifts here and there, but there is just some stuff that never really got to a place where I could say, yes, you know, this I'm feeling confident about. And I kind of stumbled onto working with my ancestors just out of the blue. A friend of my husband's actually went to work with African elder Maladoma Somme, who teaches about working with the ancestors. Mm-hmm. And he came back and he was talking about this. And it was rather confusing to me and a bit unsettling, because I come from a very conservative Christian background growing up. And, you know, I just remember like conversations about, we have, you know, there's missionaries in my family who go to Africa to convert people from their indigenous culture, you know, religions or beliefs, to Christianity. And so, you know, I would hear as a little child things about like ancestor worship and how that's devil worship, and, you know, you're going to hell and all this sort of stuff that was really scary. And even though I didn't hold any of those beliefs anymore as an adult, when I was first introduced to this concept again, there was still some of that kind of hanging around in the background, and I had a lot of resistance to it, actually. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there was like kind of this draw, this curiosity around it. And I decided one day that, you know, while I was journaling, I would just light a candle for my ancestors. Mm. And just to kind of like, you know, say hello and to honor that, you know, I wouldn't be here today if it were not for their lives. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for all the struggles that they actually overcame in order to continue and to have children so that I could be here today. Mm-hmm. So I lit a candle one morning just for them, and all of this stuff started opening up for me. I actually went through about 10 days of intense grief and being completely triggered, like all of my stuff be coming up more than it ever had ever in my past, like just 10 days of complete chaos. And I didn't think it was going to end. Like, I was just like, I don't know what's happening here, but I kept lighting that candle, and it actually kind of turned into an altar where I would, because that's where I felt the best during that time. Yeah. I would go there and I would tell my ancestors how awful everything was, and I would feel better. And then I would leave the altar and something else terrible would happen, and I would be in this completely overwhelmed place again. Mm-hmm. But by the end of those 10 days, something shifted really deep inside of me, and I came to this place of much greater internal stability than I'd ever had before, mm-hmm. a place of greater self-acceptance and love. Mm-hmm. I could really feel the support and the love of my lineage supporting me here today in my life. And, you know, everything started, those things that had been so stuck in my life previously started to shift and to change in really surprising and unexpected ways. So that's a rather long answer to the question, but is that a complete answer for you?
Totally, totally. And so I guess, you know, what I see is that, you know, there was an intuitive calling to do yeah. something that you never thought of before. You know, you lit that candle for your ancestors, and you just followed your gut, essentially,
exactly. right?
And carried through those 10 days, not necessarily knowing what to do, how it should look, what you should be saying. And I think that, you know, for the listeners who, you know, when we have an intuition, we're always kind of moving towards some kind of health, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, whatever. We don't always know, you know, and sometimes we're stuck in that place of moving into action around that intuition because of fear of what it might look like, what the outcome might be. But, you know, your story is demonstrating, you know, something incredible. Right? Something, you know, a huge breakthrough and transformation for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, definitely I think that's a really good takeaway is, you know, when we have these impulses, it is important to follow them, even if we don't really understand them, we have no idea what's going to come from them. And, you know, it requires quite a bit of trust and also a bit of ignorance, perhaps, because, you know, if I would have known what was going to happen, I don't know if I would have jumped in. And so sometimes there's a little bit of grace, perhaps, in not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're being, healing is not, I guess healing is not a pretty process a lot of the time, okay. especially when we're working with really deep core things. And often things do get worse and they get harder and they get messier before they get better. And I think that if we know that going in, mm-hmm. we might be pretty hesitant to step in.
So tell us why it's important to have a healing relationship or to have a relationship with your lineage.
The biggest reason is because, and you know, this requires a bit of framework. So if you look at your own life and you look at the life of your parents and your grandparents, you're probably going to see patterns running through the generations. You know, really, really common examples would be like alcoholism or drug abuse or, you know, weight issues or, you know, more subtle things like just kind of feeling adrift all the time, not really knowing why you're here, mm-hmm. Kind of that vague feeling of maybe not belonging or not really knowing who you are. There's, you know, some of the things that you can kind of trace through the generations if you're looking for them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then here we are living our lives and we're trying to like work with these things that show up in our lives to the best of our abilities. And sometimes we don't get anywhere, you know. And so it can be helpful to look at it from a more of a multi-generational perspective and enlist the help of our ancestors to do this work for us. And so, you know, more of the framework for this is, you know, one, we have to, there are some assumptions in here that like when somebody dies, there is still something, a spirit that remains that can be interacted with, for instance. And I think that, you know, most people have that kind of assumption, you know, like a lot of people, when somebody dies, they want to talk to them. So they might seek out a medium or their grandmother might show up in their dreams. or they might just have a sense of that loved person being around them from time to time. So I think that's a pretty you know, recognizable assumption for a lot of people. That was even there for myself initially. Mm-hmm. Another one is that when someone passes, this spirit can have an effect on our lives, and we can have an effect on them, even though they're no longer here. And that effect can be, you know, positive or negative.
Okay.
And so when we're looking at patterns that are really stuck in our lives that we can also trace through the generations, there's kind of this, you can make this, you can look at it and say, there might be something here that isn't just mine.
Okay.
And that might actually have to take a different approach to healing.
Got it.
And so, you know, this is coming from more of an animist tradition, you know, looking at things like everything being alive, like, you know, so we're kind of coming from a framework of something called animism, which comes from, you know, you can think of things as being animate or alive. Mm-hmm. And so if you are looking at things from the perspective of animism, everything has life. Everything can be interacted with. We can be in relationship with everything, with, you know, anything. So we can be in relationship with a tree, with a rock. We can, these things have spirits that we can interact with, that we can gain wisdom from, that we can, you know, turn to for healing, for guidance. And the same thing with our ancestors.
Okay.
They also, you know, are still alive in a form of spirit. And if they led a life where they where they experienced a lot of trauma and pain, whether that was, you know, just within their own lives, like through an unfortunate accident, mm-hmm. or like being part of something larger, like say a plague or a war, and the trauma that they experienced in their own bodies and spirits were not resolved during their lifetime, then that trauma will be passed on down through the generations, always seeking healing and always playing out in the people's lives, whoever is currently alive, until it does find a person or a time where that trauma can be resolved and healed.
Okay.
So
it's important to know that our stuff may not necessarily be all our stuff.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And knowing that, you know, gives us a different framework for approaching healing and for working with what is showing up in our lives. Mm. And for me, it has led to a lot of support and kind of this sense of relief that I'm not alone in this. Mm-hmm. That I can reach out to those of my lineage who are healthy in spirit and ask for their help with these issues and ask for them to help heal the spirits that are not well, that are continuing to wreak havoc in my life.
Got it. Okay. All right. And so we're basically asking our ancestors to heal so that stuff is no longer ours and we can move past that.
Yeah,
we're working on our stuff. Is that more or less?
So let me just repeat your question, or can you repeat that question one more time?
Well, basically what we're doing is asking our ancestors to come together and heal, right?
Yes.
So that the stuff that we have, you know, taken on that's not ours, right, mm-hmm. could be healed, and so that now we can actually move to our stuff.
Yes, it's kind of a dual path. Like, you know, we want to work up things from both sides. So, you know, we have these things that are happening in our lives that, you know, for instance, I can use a really physical example in my own life. I have had migraines for decades. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have worked very, very hard to heal these migraines. You know, I've worked with many different kinds of healers. I've worked with acupuncture, I've worked with herbs, meditation, mindfulness, you know, I can go on and on. I've tried like so many things to work with these migraines. And I can also like look into my lineage and there's this clear pattern of my father having migraines, his mother having migraines, his sister. Even on my mother's side, there's also a pattern of it. So it's clearly lineage.
Yes.
And so, you know, I can ask for help, you know, with that through the lineage as well. And so I can be working at it both ways. I can be asking the ancestors to, you know, go in and work with where this pattern originated in our lineage. Mm-hmm. And I can be doing my own healing work as well. Mm-hmm. So it happens both at the same time. You know, the same thing with like patterns of anxiety and insecurity and self-worth. Like mm-hmm. We want to be doing our own work at the same time and be asking for help with the lineage work.
Okay, great. So what does having a relationship with your lineage look like on a daily basis?
on a daily basis. So for me, part of it is just keeping them in mind.
Okay.
Knowing that I am here because, again, of the lives that they lived. So there's this kind of sense of gratitude and this sense of, like, this is a gift that I've been given. You know, life can be hard at times. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift. It's such an amazing gift to be here at all when you consider just what people have, what our ancestors have been through and what they have survived, and just the possibility of me being here in this moment right now. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle. It really is. Mm-hmm. And so there's this, so that's one way. It's just kind of keeping that in mind.
Yes.
And you can work with them through an altar, you know, through like having an altar that is for them where you can, you know, make offerings and you can talk to them, you can sing or pray or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But, and that can be helpful because when we don't have kind of an external way of working, of relating to our ancestors, and it all just happens within us, then those patterns kind of continue to play out. So having a external way to work with our ancestors, to kind of relate with them outside of ourselves, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, creates a little bit of distance between us and them, mm-hmm. where we can be, where there can be more consciousness around it.
Okay.
And we can relate in a more conscious manner.
Okay.
So, you know, working with an altar can be another way. For me, I just kind of always had them in my consciousness. And, you know, as I'm going about my day, I'll ask for their guidance on around what, you know, if I have a decision coming up, or, you know, if I'm leaving for a long trip, I'll ask for them to, like, you know, for their protection, their guidance throughout the trip. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like as if you have a trusted elder or friend or grandmother, grandfather in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you relate with them? You would share your life with them. You would maybe give them food occasionally. You would share meals with them. You would tell them when you're going on trips. You would maybe ask them to pray for you if that's, you know, part of your belief system. You know, it's kind of like how would you relate with somebody that you really love,
yes.
and you really respect, and that has like a lot of wisdom that you really value if they were alive, and apply those same sort of those same actions to your ancestors. Who are in spirit.
Okay. Do you think it's necessary or even possible to identify which ancestors have left with unresolved wounds, or is that necessary?
That's an interesting question. I think the answer is both yes and no.
Okay.
You know, there is this idea among, you know, some indigenous cultures that while death is an initiation, and for some people that can be enough, like say you die and weren't a very nice person, or you were an alcoholic or something. But some people, when they die, like death can be enough of an initiation that they can become elevated and become a well, bright spirit.
Okay.
But there's also this understanding that that doesn't always happen, and that it often doesn't happen, especially when, like, we don't, as a culture, live in a culture where we are really holding really, you know, proper and we're not grieving. Like, we don't really know how to grieve the death of someone that we love.
Got it.
And so you can kind of look at a person's life, if you know what their life was like, if they were a nice person or if they were kind of a grumpy person, and you might be able to infer from that whether or not something, you know, whether or not they were healed.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not something is coming through them to you, or whether or not they're in need of healing.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of these patterns started way before the people, the ancestors that we even know.
Mm.
And so, you know, working on an individual level like that can be somewhat productive, but, you know, in the framework within which I work, it's more important to, like, work with the entire lineage. From, you know, way generations way back, where we don't know what their stories are,
mm-hmm.
but we can, you know, tune into them, and we can listen, and we can do visioning work to, like, get a sense of it, but we're not ever going to really know.
Okay. All right. Are there any precautions to take when we're doing this?
Well, like, I, you know, in my initial story where I said I lit the candle and then, like, kind of all hell broke loose for 10 days, there were precautions I could have taken that would have potentially made that a lot easier that I didn't know at the time because I was just jumping in.
Yes.
And definitely there are precautions. You know, one thing is the biggest thing that you can do is just state the intention. Now hold this intention really strongly in yourself that whenever you're interacting with your ancestors, that you're interacting with the ones that are healthy and bright. And, you know, my sense of that time was that, you know, there were kind of two things happening. One, because when we start to call on our ancestors, we kind of attract the attention of all of them, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. And so, you know, it can be important to have that boundary of I'm choosing to interact only with the ones that are healthy and bright and no one else is welcome here.
Got it.
I didn't do that. And so, you know, I think I tapped into a lot of the unexpressed grief of my lineage when I first lit that candle. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, which ended up being a positive thing, because, you know, as that grief came up and through me, then it like also cleared me out and was a healing for me and, mm-hmm. and, you know, got me to this place where I was able to really feel and interact with my ancestors in a much deeper way afterwards. And I don't think it has to happen that dramatically or that, it was really painful the way it happened for me. And I don't think that's the way that it needs to happen for anyone else. So that's the main precaution. It's just, you know, be clear about who you're interacting with.
Yeah. Really being boundary, right?
About And that's a great practice in everyday life. You know, as I've seen a lot of people that I work with, as they learn to set healthy boundaries with their ancestors, they start learning to set healthy boundaries with everything and everyone in their life, and their lives become much simpler, you know, in a way.
Mm-hmm. So in that process, in your process, in the process that you know, encourage others to do, you're asking the healthy ancestors to help heal the not so healthy ones.
Yeah.
Are you also providing, you know, some sort of healing from yourself as well to support that process? Or
the healing that I provide is more in support of the person.
Okay.
So, you know, I can help people with the trauma as they experience it in their lives, learning how to really, you know, I can help people, I help people learn how to connect into their bodies, how to meet whatever is present there, whether it's physical or emotional pain, mm-hmm. how to track what's happening and be able to meet it in a way that allows for healing to happen within their own bodies and their lives.
Yes.
I kind of, there are people and there are approaches out there where it's the person that is helping to heal the ancestors. The approach that I prefer more is, like, our ancestors are our elders. And, you know, they have a lot more wisdom and perspective than we do. And so I kind of let them do the work when it comes to the unhealthy ancestors. Okay. And there are things that we can do to help that process. You know, like, it is up to us to kind of initiate it and to ask for this help and to point it out. Mm-hmm. You know, it is up to us to be in a relationship where they actually want to help us out, because, you know, most of us have been so disconnected from our ancestry for so long that, you know, they're like, who are you? Like, why are you even asking us for help? Like, are you really, really committed to being in this relationship with us?
Yeah.
And so there can be, you know, it's human relations. Like, mm-hmm. if you go up knocking on someone's door who you haven't seen for 20 years, and you say, hey, will you help me build my house? They're going to look at you a little strange.
Yeah. So what have you, in your personal journey, have you noticed any healing through your ancestors?
Yes. I wouldn't be here talking about this work if it wasn't, you know, what has been the most profoundly transformative and healing work of my life, you know, up to this point.
Okay. Are you able to speak about it in any way whatsoever?
Yes, I'm kind of thinking which direction to go here. You know, for one, my relations with my families, with my family, uh-huh. my actual living family, is so much easier and deeper than it has ever been. Uh-huh. I have had very contentious relationships with a couple family members, and that has shifted, like, to the point where I was just home over Christmas. I've been very excited to go home, which had never been the case before. And it was a really nice time. Mm-hmm. I really just appreciated and enjoyed being with my family as they are. And I could have never imagined that having been the case, you know, even like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge healing, a huge, like, unexpected change.
Yes.
also, you know, me being here today talking about this, yes. You know, part of the summit is, you know, to start wearing your power and to stop hiding.
Yes.
And what I've discovered is that when you work with your lineage, you start to discover the gifts and the blessings that flow to you. It seems like we're often more in this place of noticing the things that are kind of off about our family or kind of dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's often, there's often very real things there. I don't want to in any way to diminish the pain that comes through family, mm-hmm. often, mm-hmm. on so many levels. Mm-hmm. But what you start to discover is the gifts and the blessings and the strengths as well. And you start to discover and to like really know who you are and the gifts that you have to bring into the world. Mm-hmm. And it becomes easier to stand in them because there's no longer all this unresolved trauma blocking you from knowing what it is, from being able to be in your body, from being able to do it.
Yes. Yes. And you found yours.
But what was that?
You found yours. You found your power and your gifts through this process.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. And we have no idea what those gifts are going to look like. I happen to believe that the purpose of essentially every human being is to be a steward of this earth and of each other. Mm-hmm. But how that might look is, there's just no way to even say, like, how might that might look for, you know, this person versus me versus you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So who specifically would this process, working with our lineage, who specifically would this benefit?
In my mind, unless you're like really living your purpose, you're really fully in your power, mm-hmm. you know why you're here and you're living and you're really thriving, mm-hmm. you probably need this work.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that.
Great. Will this process solve all our problems, all our pains?
No. This work kind of gets us to baseline.
Got it.
Right now, when we are living in a world where we're living lives that are so encumbered by the pain and trauma of previous generations, mm-hmm. we're really not even at a baseline where we can full, you know, be able to step into our power. Yeah, you know, if we're on a continuum of like, you know, negative 100 to 0 to 100 and negative 100 being, you know, all the end result trauma and our inability, you know, we're somewhere between negative 100 and 0. Doing this work gets us to 0 so that then we can like really start making gains in our own lives and in our own abilities to be present with ourselves, with our others, to know and to live our purpose and to be able to, you know, really wear our power and to step out into the world do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your free gift?
Oh, sure. Yes. So the free gift that I'm offering today is a 1-hour class plus an audio, plus like a 10-minute audio lesson talking about how these wounds and pain and trauma are passed through the generations down into our lives and about 4 steps we can take to begin to cultivate a conscious relationship with our ancestors and begin to shift these patterns.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great, I look forward to doing that myself. Any last words of wisdom?
The last thing I'd like to say is, I was in a ceremony with my ancestors about a couple weeks ago, and something that they said really struck me. They were talking about the universe and about, you know, humanity and life and everything. And they said that there are really only 2 things that exist in the universe. And those 2 things are beauty and grace. Mm-hmm. And anything that isn't in a state of beauty is being held in grace. And in truth, it's all beauty. So I'll leave you with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Larissa, for sharing your gifts.
Thank you, Lillian.
And your experience and your personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm.